So in this purport, it's specifically speaking about the mind. There's one or two things we can just say before that. It also mentions demoniac mentality. So this is caused by an uncontrolled mind. So in the Bhagavad Gita, this is... Prabhupada was once being questioned by his disciples about what is demoniac mentality and what is divine mentality. And everything they said, he said, they are demons. What about these people, Prabhupada? They're benefiting society so much. They're only doing good. They are demons. What about my father? He's very favourable. He's becoming a little bit favourable to Krishna consciousness. They are demons. And everybody was really frustrated. What about us? And actually in the Bhagavad Gita it says, until we completely wash off this material contamination, by nature, we are non-devotees. By nature, it means we may be pure, in that we have a pure... goal. We don't want to engage in pure devotional service. But due to the contamination of our many lives in this world, we're not quite able to do that. So because of that contamination, Prabhupada saying in that purport that by nature we're non-devotees. Has that experience? Very difficult. There's like two people in one... Well, it is. It's two people in one body. Sometimes it's favourable and sometimes it's difficult. I remember when I was just... before I joined the movement, I was cleaning the windows at home, and I was thinking, shall I go to the temple today? You know, it was Sunday. And this voice was saying, yeah, you should go, it's very good for you. Oh, yeah, I'll go. Then in the next moment, no, don't go. There's so many things you can do if you don't go. And to Chris, one thing to another. So this is how the mind works. Sankalpa, vikalpa. Sometimes it's accepting the same thing which you rejected a few moments ago. So when we don't control the mind, this is when we develop this demonic mentality. So what's the qualities that the Bhagavatam say about a divine mentality? Does anybody know? In the fifth canto, it says it very specifically, just like Prabhupada was saying, that it was very clear, they are demons and they are devotees. He says, yas yasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchina sarvergunas chata samarshate hara harava bhaktasya gato maho gato maho, what is it? Maho, anyway, yas yasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchina sarvergunas chata samarshate hara harava bhaktasya gato mahaguna manoratena asati devata baha. So this mano retainer, what is mano? Mano means mind, and rat means chariot, the chariot of the mind. This is the whole purpose of all spiritual practices, to control this mad mind, this ratta, this chariot. So it gives the example of Haridas Thakur in that particular purport. And now he had all the good qualities. And then it enlists the 26 qualities of a devotee. So in this class it's not possible to quote on 26 qualities. But one particular quality which struck me is for a devotee is... What do you think it is? Eh? Controlling the mind, yeah. We're dealing with that. I thought of truthfulness. So many times in the past devotees have... use Krishna consciousness to tell so many lies. And so this is not good for preaching. Just like... I don't know if I gave the example of a £5 note recently. Did I? Finding a £5 note. What would you do if you were walking down the street? Well, it's gone up to £20 now. £5 not much, is it? And you saw a £20 note in the street. And you had an idea who it might belong to. Maybe not, you know, it's just like, what would you do? There's so many things we could do. There's so many philosophies we could create on the spot. Oh, yes, and put the Bhagavad Gita there. Yes, I could do that. And I could do it. We could do so many things. Because everything's Krishna's anyway, isn't it? Everybody's a thief in this material world. They're not using it in Krishna's service. So I should take it and use it in Krishna's service. And then again, everybody's got their quota and we should not encroach on anybody. Is that right, Ishupanishads? So which one should we do? Put it in his pocket? There's three things we can do. This would give a clue. He says we should. One person walks by, materialist, he looks round and puts it in his pocket. Another person, he thinks, no, I don't want this, this is Maya. And he leaves it there. And the other one does what? He what? Finds the owner. Who's the owner? This is the point. Who's the owner? And who's that? Krishna. Who says Krishna? Hands up, who say Krishna? Actually, I'll tell a story. I was giving this example in one place. It was in South Africa, actually. And when I got to the end, I said, has anybody had a similar experience? And this person at the back, he put his hand up. He said, I was walking down the road and I saw this parcel. And it looked pretty new parcel. It just looks as if it had not been there very long. So I wonder what that is. He picked it up and there were $10,000 in this parcel. And so he thought, and then just the opposite, there was a big function going off. There's a wedding. And so he went into the wedding and he was looking around. He got it in his pocket. Then he saw that the bride was crying like anything, really, you know, heartbroken. And so he said, what's the matter? She's just got married. And he went to her and asked, he says, what's the matter, Mataji? He says, I've just lost $10,000. So what should we do? Yeah, we should be honest. We, you know, a devotee doesn't... Krishna provides everything for his devotee. We don't have to cheat. In fact, he says so many times in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, in the Gita, it says we should strive by honest means. Is that right? We don't create harm to anybody. What happens if we start bending the rules like that? We're not going to do much preaching, are we? People just think we're a lot of, what is it, criminals. So a devotee is truthful. He does the right thing. Now there's another story of one called Kaushik Muni. He was known to never tell a lie. One day there were some bandits chasing some dacoits. These are bandits in... They were chasing some pilgrims. And the pilgrims were running away and they passed his hermitage. And so they said, please help us, Kaushik Muni. We are being chased by dacoits and they will rob and kill us. He says, what should we do? He said, we need to hide. He says, go and hide in that forest. And so they went and hid in the forest. Then a few minutes later the bandits came by and they asked him the same question. We're looking for some pilgrims who are running away from us. Where did they go? He said, they went in that forest. So this is another form of truthfulness, but it's not really the right... I mean, what happened is that they all got killed. So a devotee has to be intelligent. What is it? Satyam Bruyat, Priyam Bruyat. Satyam Bruyat, Priyam Bruyat. This is a real truthfulness. A person only speak in material society, we only speak what? Palatable truth, is that right? We don't like to hurt anybody's feelings. So what does a devotee do in that situation? How does he act? Because once Prabhupada, he was he read a Back to Godhead article. And then he got a letter from Sumati Maharaji. She was the one who financed him to come on the Jaladuta to New York. And she was complaining about an article one of her Prabhupada's disciples had written in the Bhakti Godhead magazine about Vallabha Acharya. Vallabha Acharya was at the time of Lord Chaitanya. And she was saying how this person had criticised Vallabhacharya because she was in a Vallabhacharya Sampradaya. Now, if somebody criticises anybody in our Sampradaya, we wouldn't be very pleased, would we? And so she was writing to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, it was true what this disciple had wrote. He'd wrote about how Vallabhacharya had criticised who? Anybody remember? Sridhar Swami. Because Sridhar Swami is known as the main commentator or main authority on the Srimad Bhagavatam. There are quite a few authorities, but he's seen as the supreme authority. And Lord Chaitanya admonished him, and he was writing this. And he said, so he was saying that Sridhar Swami was completely out of it. And so she didn't like that. And then Prabhupada, he wrote to Sumati Maharaji and told her that, my disciple doesn't know how this process of Satyam Bruyat, Priyam Bruyat, when to speak the truth. He said, in a social system, we actually have to explain things in such a way that people aren't offended. He says, but in Vaishnav circles, if there's a philosophical disagreement, then we don't think about the feelings of the others. We say it in the right way, but we have to tell the truth. So a devotee is, in Vaishnav circles, he's speaking the truth and putting devotees right if he sees that there's some discrepancy. But when he's dealing with the general public, then he deals with them in such a way that not to offend them, and they become favourable to Krishna consciousness. Like Prabhupada in his purports, many times we see he gives one example which is not quite the full truth. Does anybody recognise that? It's not quite, you know, he'll say it in such a way that it doesn't reveal everything. Anybody think of any examples? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, when he was speaking to the Christian, Australia, there was this San Franciscan monastery, and they were teaching the children, and he said, "What do you think to Saint Francis's philosophy, Brother Bird, Brother Tree, Brother this, Brother that?" He said, "This is first-class Vaishnava philosophy." But the way they were practicing it at that time, they weren't practicing what St. Francis was practicing. But what would they feel? They'd feel attracted. They'd feel very much encouraged. And later on, if they start taking interest, things can be revealed. So a devotee has to see like that, that the truth of time, place and circumstance. So truthfulness means integrity. We have to also be truthful with ourselves. So this means controlling the mind. Very easy to get caught on a tangent, but bringing the mind back to what is the actual right thing to do. Okay, so it says, except for in this world, there's no enemy but what? The mind. Friends and enemies. So I've just got a little bit here about that. So, what does Prabhupada say about friends and enemies amongst devotees? He sees everybody equal, but what does he see as a friend? Who do we see as a friend in devotional service? And who do we see as an enemy? Because we are influenced by our association, aren't we? Was it Purusho Prakriti Stohi Bhunkti Prakriti Gyanagan? Karana Guna Sangasya Sadasat Janma Yonishu. A living entity is going from one situation to another due to his focus of his mind. And due to what? What's the main thing here? Association. So what his mind associates with, who he associates with. He finds himself in difficulty or in good situations. So in Vaishnav circles, who do we see as the friend? What does Madhavacharya say about that in one story? He was in front of his disciples. I think it was Madhavacharya or Ramanujacharya. Madhavacharya, I think. And he was giving class, and this person kept coming and criticising him. And he went on, for, you know what it's like if you're in front of your spiritual master and somebody comes and starts criticising him, they're all going, oh. And after he'd gone, he said, Guru Maharaj, you know, can we more or less beat him up? They were saying, you know, why are you tolerating this? He says, this is my best friend. And they couldn't understand. And then he explained, he says, he's keeping me from going to hell. He's telling me about my faults. When he tells me about my faults, then I'm on the safe side. That's in devotional service. Controlling the mind in that way keeps us on the straight and narrow. Otherwise, what does the mind do? It starts to think about how many good qualities we have. Are we doing well? So many people are glorifying us, and we get caught up on a... But I heard one devotee saying that even if... Has anybody committed any bad activities in their life? Can you remember them? So he says, when we're feeling puffed up, when we're feeling very satisfied in devotional service and everybody thinks we're doing so well, we should think about that, those bad times. This will bring us down to earth. What is my real position? However, and even if we've only done one bad thing in this lifetime, just remember that. Just focus on that. So this is good practice for a devotee. Because we're only getting the mind is only being controlled by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're not able to control the mind on our own. So we can say a little bit about that, actually. Indriyani Pranyahur, Manasastu Yobudhi, Yobudhir Paratastasa. So this is the hierarchy of the senses in the body. And which is the... So the sense objects and the senses, which is more powerful? The senses? Who senses? Well, what happens if we see, say for men, and it's different for women, a beautiful woman walking by? What's the natural thing to do? The senses are attracted. It's only by higher intelligence that we can control that. And same for the women when a handsome man. So the sense objects are superior to the senses. They attract. But how do we control the sense objects? How do we get control over them? By a controlled mind. And how the mind is in the mode of goodness. False ego in the mode of goodness. So goodness means it's not doing anything wrong, but it's giving us a lot of trouble. Why? Why is the mind giving us so much trouble? It's in the mode of goodness. It's like neutral. It's uncontrolled by ego in the mode of passion. And what's that? That's intelligence. Because intelligence is passionate, it's active. The mind is stationary. Depending on our intelligence, we'll be governed by the mind. So this says, Prabhupada says in that purport, the key to the whole problem is to strengthen the intelligence by understanding this philosophy, and then the soul can engage directly in Krishna consciousness. He says that solves the whole problem. Sisi Radha Gokul Nanda Ki Jai. That solves the whole problem. But then he says something else which is very important. He says that, but due to an agitated mind, one may still fall down. So what's the... He says, so therefore, we need to be strengthened in Krishna consciousness. We need attachment to Krishna or association of Krishna. This will keep us strong. So how do we associate with Krishna? By chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. I once visited a person, and it wasn't very usual, but door to door, I knew he came interested and he invited me in, and after a while he took a set of Bhagavatams and he was really into it. Every day he was reading the Bhagavatam. He got up to about the fifth canto. I thought, wow, he's fired up. And then I noticed, are you chanting? He says, no. I said, do a little bit of chanting every day. And somehow or other he couldn't get round to chanting. I didn't push him because obviously he couldn't. And then all of a sudden one day he just put them down and he never read them again. Why? Because the mind said, okay, time's up, do this. Because there's no power, there's no strength here, no strength in the mind. So this is a devotee, this is the two types of hearing. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam keeps the intelligence sharp, and hearing Maha Mantra keeps us strong. Actually, even if we're not intelligent enough to understand Srimad Bhagavatam by our own endeavour, by our own efforts, it says that, what's it saying in the Bhagavad Gita? Eh? What verse is that? Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pridipurvakam yadadi buddhi yogam tam yenamam upyantite. So the chanting is the key to spiritual life. Everything else falls into place. The mind becomes controlled and then we can focus. When we are finding that it's difficult to focus on our daily activities, guaranteed that there's something wrong with our chanting or some lacking. As soon as we really focus, everything becomes so much easier. We can fit things in. There's a story of... actually, I'll not mention his name, but he used to do seminars for business people, this person. He was very much, you know, he was worth millions of pounds. You know, chief people in the business world paid a lot of money to go to his seminars. And in one seminar, he'd got a plastic container, a round plastic container, and he went up to it, it was full to the brim, exactly, with big rocks, small rocks, and sand, and little pebbles. And so he then went, whoosh, and emptied it all out. He says, I want some volunteers to now fill this back up as it was. So a few came out, and so he was sat watching them, and then they got to a point where they weren't going to get everything in it. For some reason, they were in there, but they couldn't put it back the same as it was. And he was saying, you're missing, you know, you've got a rock. He would just, you know, wind them up a little bit. You've got a rock over here missing, you know. And so they were all frustrated and they said, all right, you do it. And so what he did, he got the big rock, the biggest rock, and he put it in. Then he worked his way down in size. And then when he got all the rocks and he got the sand and poured it in and just shook it, they were perfect. So what's the big rock in Krishna consciousness? It's chanting the holy name. This controls the mind. Hiranyakashipu, he had so much learning. He was very intelligent. But even though he knew, he understood the philosophy, he didn't understand the philosophy. He couldn't control his senses when Prahlad Maharaj was preaching to him. Prahlad Maharaj was trying to help him. But because of his uncontrolled mind, then look where he finished up. We have no enemy in... Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakura mentions that point. There are no enemies in this world except the uncontrolled mind. I've got one last story. And maybe I've said this one before about the bus driver. Is that right? No. Shall I tell it? Okay. So, I know one person. He got a job on the buses. And first day on the buses, he went out, and in the first few stops, at the third stop, this big chap gone, Big John, huge, about 200 pounds, 6 foot six, and he looked at the driver, he says, my name is Big John, and Big John doesn't pay. And he thought, anything for a quiet, you know, easy time. So he just ignored him and carried on driving. The next day, same run, came to the third stop, Big John gone, and said the same, my name is Big John, and Big John doesn't pay. And getting a little bit agitated, so anyway, he's a bit too big for me, and he carried on. Third day, same thing. Then after the four, you know, this went on for 2 weeks, and they were thinking, he should pay. You know, it's not right that he gets away with this. And if the inspector gets one, I'll lose my job. And he was going through it, his mind became uncontrolled, and he was thinking about it day and night. And then after about a month, he thought, I know what I'll do. I'll go down to the local karate club. So he went down to the local karate club and did a 2-month crash course. And his instructors were amazed. This is one of the best students I've ever had. He's got a real purpose in life. And after 2 months, he was ready. He said, but we can't teach you much more. You've gone through the preliminary course. You know, it's only the advanced course now. So, you know, here's your so-and-so belt, whatever colour it was. And then, so he gets on the bus and he's ready. He comes to the third stop, and who gets on? Big John. Before Big John even opens his mouth, he jumps out of the driver's seat. So, is Big John going to pay? He says, my name is Big John, and Big John doesn't pay. Big John has bus pass. So the mind is very tricky. It brings things into the mind which are not even actually... We're in Japa time. Anybody noticed? We start thinking about the day to come. It might never even happen. And usually it doesn't. But we're completely absorbed in what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. So... So this is what Lord Krishna said to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He called Arjuna Mahabaho. Does anybody know what Mahabaho means? Mighty warrior. Mighty armed warrior. And he says, you will be called really Mahabaho when you can control the mind. So actually in the Bhagavad Gita there's an old section on controlling the mind. Does anybody know what it is? Which chapter? Chapter 6, very good. So we'll just skim through chapter 6. Give us some tips on how to control the mind.